Okay, we're in Derech Hashem. We are in Derech Hashem, Perek Dalid, B'matzavo shel Adam ba'olam hazeh v'adrachim shelefanav b'derech prat, the reality of man in this world, and the paths that are before him in detail, and as we just summed up a second ago, again, we have four prakim, and what we're doing is getting more and more fine-tuned with each perek. Perek Aleph is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that has to be the source of all things. We then get a little bit more fine-tuned, Perek Bet, defines why God wants to create, why is there a creation at all? Because if not, there's no reason for anything else to come after that. Then when we say why there is a creation and what that creation is, we then define the centerpiece of that creation, which is
man.
That's Perek Gimel, B'min Ha'Enoshim. And now what we're doing is we're making it even more fine-tuned. We're now talking about our experience as mankind in the slice of reality that we exist in, to which this Sefer is Shayach, which is not Prichet, not post, not beginning to move into Olam Haba, but post Chet Adam HaRishon Olam Hazeh. Okay, so it's more Prat, but it's also still very broad. That's thousands of years, because we're still within the realm of Klalim, but it's a more refined, a more specific Klal. Clear?
Mm-hmm. So where is he starting from?
He's not going to talk to you about the history itself. We'll see inside. We'll see the text inside. He's going to explain the nature of how reality works in that time period. But right. He's not going to talk about the nature of the history itself.
We mean from after the fate till now.
Well, till past now. Yeah, I mean till
Mashiach.
Let's say until Olam Haba, whatever you want to understand that word and whatever phase you want it to count toward.
It starts after sin.
Yeah. And you'll see very quickly and clearly in the words, it's so much more reflects our experience in Olam Hazeh than anything we've seen before. Even though it's, again, broadly talking about thousands of years, it doesn't matter. Because that's the nature of our reality for all time until Yimot HaMashiach Tiyat HaMetim in Olam Haba. Okay? Masavo shel Adam ba'olam hazeh yibachanu shnei inyanim. In the reality of man in this world, we can distinguish into two things, into two parts. Tichunat atzmo shel ha'adam b'chalakav v'harkavatam. The characteristics themselves of man in all their parts and how they are held together. V'hamakom asher hu musam bo. And the place in which he's situated in. B'chol ma shemitlaveh lo. With all the things that come along with it, with that space. Meaning there are two things we need to understand. Man in its current state, and the reality in which man exists in his current state. Because as we've said many, many times over the last bunch of shiurim, that man and the world are always going to reflect each other, because since, going back to chapter 2 and 3, the end of 2 and 3, since this world is created, that's really the end of chapter 2, that everything in this world is just here to help man accomplish its task of earning more goodness. So if the nature of man changes, what inevitably changes along with him? The world itself. So we need to understand the state of man and the state of the world as the two are reflecting each other. Ot Aleph. Zeo. Bet. Bechinat Adam Atzmo. So let's start, as the Ramchal always go, very systematically, one thing at a time. Let's talk about the nature of man and the state that he's in right now. Hine. Kvar Zacharnu, we've already mentioned. Echu Murkav Echad. Shenitchu Vo Shnei Hafachim. That he's one joined, unified being, but comprised of two opposite things. Vehainu. You guys can enter this without even looking down. Excellent. The Neshama and the Guf. Right? We talked about that war that exists within a person at all times. Is the war between those two completely opposite sides of the body and the soul, constantly at war within a human being. V'ulam, hine anachnu ro'im be'ineinu, as we see with our own eyes. And again, watch how the language shifted. He never used that type of wording before in Perek Aleph Beter Gimel, because we're not shaykh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We weren't there when the world was created, and we certainly don't have any experience of pre-chet or post-chet. Right, it's very kilu. The whole language is shifting because he's very much relating to where we are in this chapter. We see with our own eyes shachomriyut rishonibo, that physicality is primary and dominant in mankind. What was it beforehand?
Equal
balance. He's always been talking about the equal balance, and then things got more and increased, but never talked in this lashon. And we were learning that before, we're like, wait a second, that's not how I experienced it. I don't feel like I have an equal pull between good and bad, between physical and spiritual. My physical side is much stronger than my spiritual side. Right? So he's saying that's our experience. That's the reality of Olam Hazeh Poschet. Shachamriot Rishonibo, and we'll see the light side. There's two sides to the story. The beginning is the depressing side of the story, which we may not get past today, so we're just going to beat ourselves into the ground until Tuesday, and then we'll bring things back to a good place. But, you know, that is what we experience, that our physicality is primary within us. The physicality is the dominant part of ourselves, poschet. V'toldotav chazakot bo me'od. And it's what it produces within man is incredibly strong. Hine, mi'ad achar lidato. From the moment a person is born, kimat kulo chomri, it's like the person is entirely physical. The ena seichel poel poelamat. The seichel doesn't act upon that person at all. What does seichel mean? How do we define seichel?
Transcendental.
The transcendental aspects of a person, their mind, their spirituality, all these things. You ever met a one day old? Right. So we're always like enamored by how cute they are. But they're also, and I don't mean this in a mean way, like infants don't obviously have any, they're not doing anything on their own, but just very real. When we're born into this world, we're born the opposite of what we're meant to make of ourselves. We are entirely physical, we are entirely selfish. We're the opposite of where we're supposed to get to. We're pure because we're not chayav in anything, we're pure because we can't come close to chait. But in terms of the actual content of what a child is, it's not so simple. Children cry and eat and go to the bathroom and sleep and demand to be taken care of and don't understand why you would do anything else but focus on them. And if not, I'm going to scream as loud as I can until I get what I want. If an adult acts like that, we'd wonder what was wrong, right? Because we assume that a person has to grow out of that. So, not to take away from the cuteness of a child, I love children also, but in terms of just hashkafically what's happening over the course of the lifespan of a person, once a person's born into this world, they're born starting from a place where really the deck is stacked in the opposite direction. By the way, how was Adam Rishon born? And Chava? Fully formed adults. And had they been the only people created, there never would have been such a concept. Food for thought. If it was just, remember, if there's just it, just the zulato, 6 hours, don't eat the fruit, go on to the seventh day, which is eternal. That's it.
How did we get to birth?
With death.
Why can't you just...
In a post-gate reality.
Why can't you just be born and die at the same age?
His point is, in a post-gate world, this is the reality we live in. Where from the moment we're born as a reflection of the reality that we chose, which is a heavier physical reality that we have to break free of, or at least fight against.
But why does that mean babies?
It doesn't mean babies.
No,
I'm saying
why does that mean that we have to go through a process of growing up?
It means that either way, from our very inception, in the world that we live in the post-chait world, our physicality is what's going to be dominant. You're asking more nuance, why does it have to be a child and why does it have to grow up and all these things? That's a great question. I'm just saying I'm just noting the fact that as we transition out of Gan Eden, death and birth come into the world. And as a byproduct of that, we end up with children who are born with an inherent sense of physicality, which is reflective of the reality that they're born into. That's all that I'm saying. You're asking a better question, but he's not going to answer it directly. Okay? There's only a little bit of seichel there. There's very little seichel. Ukefi hit gadlo yeleich haseichel holeich v'chazek. And as that person grows up, we hope that as the person continues to grow up, that their seichel, their more transcendental side, will become stronger, will grow, and eventually gain some sort of control over that person. The attempt to accomplish that is called parenting. Right? It's chinuch. B'chol echad kifi inyanav. But just as an aside, that is food for thought and a longer conversation. That's what parenting is supposed to do. B'chol echad kifi inyano. Each one by his own individual nature. V'al kol panim, however, lo yasur achomriut mimsholbo Meaning, because of the nature of the reality that we live in.
This is a really, like, irritating echo. It vibrates and it makes a noise.
And it picks up on the recorder and I also hear it when I talk. I have to find something better because it's making me crazy. No matter how strong in this world, and this all reaches back to things we talked about at length in Perek Gimel, no matter how strong the person's seichel side is strengthened over the course of that person's lifetime in this world, the physicality will never cease to rule over that person and to incline that person toward physicality. But if a person does grow up and grow in chokhmah, here we're talking about literally in knowledge, not in seichel, but in chokhmah, because if you don't know, the beginning is chokhmah. If you don't know what to do, you can't possibly get to seichel. You can't possibly create a transcendental reality if you don't know what transcendental things are. So it begins with the chokhmah. It begins with chinuch. Even if that person grows in chokhmah, v'yilumad ba, v'yitchazek b'drachecha, and he learns its ways and he strengthens it within him, then a person can try to overcome his or her nature. V'lo yishalach resen ta'avot miyado. Sorry, I missed the Ella. Tov. That unless a person does work to strengthen themselves in chokhmah and overcomes their nature and never lets go of the rest and of the restraint of the reins of taiva from its hands, meaning a person is always struggling, so is that war. So if a person's seichel overcomes, then it grabs the reins of the body, it grabs the reins of physical desire, and holds on to them for dear life to gain control of our animalistic side. That's how we can overcome. That's how we can do good in this world. That's how we can engage our transcendental side in this world. Then we can strengthen ourselves to walk in the way of seichel, in the ways that are transcendental, like ruchaniyut, intelligence, and all the things that come along with it. Tochiyut ha'inyanim ha'ile she'anu ro'im. The inner essence of these things which we see, hinehu, she'b'mitziyut ha'chomer ba'atzmuto, ninsa ha'akirut v'achoshech b'teva. That in the reality of physicality and its essence, there's a darkness and a murkiness in its nature. Physicality is dark. Physicality is heavy. Physicality is murky. It muddles our perception. It's when we engage in physicality, we tend to be drawn down. We were kidding around before, I don't talk about food as much as this semester was used to before. When you go and you indulge in an amazing meal that's incredibly unhealthy and you totally, it's all kosher. It's all good. What do you need to do right after that? What's the immediate response after you have that amazing, huge, burgers and fries and poppers? What do you, I need to lie down. I need to go to sleep. You literally sink into your physicality. The more we engage the physical, the more the physical draws us down. It's dark, it's heavy, it's murky. V'humitziyut rachok me'od, v'afchila mashehu ayan be'emet. La'krevim el hakel yiparach shemo mitzavkim bo b'kedushato. It's a reality that's very distant and opposite from what we are meant to, in truth, draw ourselves close to, and drawing ourselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, be tabeit to Him. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu Himself is transcendental, if He's above creation, if He's beyond creation, if He created all of creation, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is transcendental, then the more that I immerse myself in the physical world, the more I'm drawing myself away from God. And the more that I distance myself from running after my physical desires, my physical side, the more that I move away from the desires of my chumriyut and instead push forward my seichel and my transcendental side and my neshama, then I'm moving myself closer to a dveikut with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm more domet to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore have a greater heat to dabkut to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Does that make sense? Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Here at all?
Yes.
It wasn't bad. No, I mean, it doesn't make sense. It could not make sense. We could fight, we could argue about it. It's fine. Just want to know if everybody's alive. We're good?
We are.
We're alive.
So
Thursday.
So impressive. Okay. The neshama atzma, the neshama itself, afal pisha be'atzma, hizakav elyona, even though the neshama itself is pure and is lofty, hinei, b'hikansaba gufa chomri, once it gets put into, once it enters into the physical body, v'histav kabo, and it becomes entangled in that physical body, nimtzeit gerusha u'dichuya me'inyanah ha'tivi el inyanei ha'filo. It ends up being divorced and pushed away, meaning cut off and then distanced from its true nature to that which is opposite of it. The soul is purely transcendental. That's what the soul is. That's its nature, is that it's purely transcendental. And it's being shoved into a physical body, which is cutting it off from what it is. And that's the reality that the soul lives in. Ukivushabo bekoach machriach, and is entrapped within the body with a powerful restraint. Lutuchal latzeit imeno eleinkin. The only way for the soul to get out, meaning not to literally leave the body, but to get out of the confines of the body, to actually enact in this role on its own, eleinkin tamitz bekoach chazak mina koach machricha, is to strengthen itself with tremendous might from this restraining force of the body. Period. Uviyotche gazar ha'adon baruch hu, and since HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed sharkava zo shel guf ha'adam v'nishmato lo tzipred le'olam, and since HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that the body and the soul of a person should never be separated, parentheses, why is it never separated? Isn't it separated? Since God decreed that the body and soul always have to be attached together,
they reconnect.
Right, meaning, as he's going to say, pirush, meaning, yeah, they're separated for a little bit, but that's just to get them back together. Right? They just need a little space. Right? But the whole point is to get them back together. Pirush. Ki piruta mita inu ela davar lefi sha'ah adzikata meitzim. Right? It's the divide between the body and the soul is only temporary until tchiyata meitzim. And in the span of infinity, it's a very short amount of time.
Meaning olam neshama.
It's only spent. No, what do you mean by you mean olam
neshamot? That's the time that we're talking about that they're separate.
Yes, only also olam neshamot. But and then when they move into tchiyat ha'metim and that realm of olam haba, that's what's infinite. Just making sure we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Chachar kach shi'chal shuv aguf, but then it has to come back to the body. Ushdemit kaimu yachad le'netzach nitzchim. Like we just said, the two will be together forever and ever. Hinei muchrach, it then is necessary shetishtadel haneshama v'titchazek, that the neshama has to struggle, to strive, to toil, and to strengthen itself. V'tiholechet u'machaleshet v'tekoach koshech ha'chamriyut, and to keep going and weaken the physical might of its physicality. Ad she'er haguf bilti chashuch, to the point where the body is no longer dark. V'az yuchal l'hitalot hu ima v'le'or ba'or ha'elyom. Then the body will be able to go up with the soul and to be lit up with this lofty light of the neshama. Tachat masha ha'itahi mitchashechet v'nishpelet imo batchila. In place of the soul being darkened and lowered by the body originally. What does that sound like? What was that a description of?
What happened to Adam?
That's olam haba, when the soul by itself can shine.
Correct. What he just described? You say it out, Eliza.
Olam haba.
No, actually say it out. What did he just describe?
I think he's talking about like the soul being able to do its purpose, which is to shine through the body.
Excellent, and purify it and raise it up. And that is, as Eliza said, that's olam haba. But if that's what's supposed to happen, why isn't that happening? So we already know the answer to that question. The ulam, however, how dam ba'olam hazeh, right, he's going to say, as opposed to what it can do here, because we already said that in olam hazeh, that's not possible anymore. The ulam, how dam ba'olam hazeh, hu b'matzav echad, she'achomer chazak bo, kemo shezacharnu, where in this world, man's physicality is tremendously strong, as we said before, uviyot achomer akur v'chashoch, and since the physicality is murky, and is dark, and is thick, nimsa ha'adam v'choshech adol, man's existence in this reality is incredibly dark. And very distant from what he wants to be. To be davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's where we are all meant to put in all of our striving in this world. is in that battle, starting from that battlefront. L'chazek et nishmato neged koach chomro, to strengthen the neshama against the power of the guf, against the power of its own of the person's physicality. Uleitiv et matzavo, and to make better its situation. L'ha'alot atzmo iloi ara shigoy haro'ilo, to raise itself up to the extent that it's possible. Now the impact of that won't necessarily be felt in Olam Hazeh, but our goal in this world is to strengthen the neshama, is to strengthen the seichel, is to grow in chokhmah, so we can grow in sichliut, in order to combat the physical and the body, pursue only seichel-oriented goals, so that eventually when the neshama is rejoined with the guf, then it can actually do what it needs to do. But the struggle is to do that in this world when we're in a world that is impossibly thick and dark and heavy. We're not talking about the world yet. When we're in a body, when we're in a self, even worse than that, when we're trapped inside of a self that we identify with primarily, more so than the Shema, that's thick, that's dark, that's heavy, that's weighing us down. Clear? Questions, thoughts, comments, reflections?
Okay. So, in
order to strengthen our neshama, we have to get
safe
levels. Yes. Yeah. That's a fair way of putting it.
So, how do you do that?
Let's just see the man's reality in this world in terms of space. Since we said, remember, we opened up, that was Ot Aleph, was we have to both understand the person and the space. So that way we can jump into the upshot of this scenario, which is getting more and more bleak by the moment, on Tuesday. Okay? Quickly, let's just see Gimel. V'amakom asher hu betocho, unsurprisingly, the reality, the physical space which man inhabits. Gam hu chomri v'chashoch. So therefore, it also has to be physical and dark. V'chol hanim tsa'im shebo chomriim. And everything that exists within this world is physical. Va'esek shel adam bo bimlo'o eifshar sheyeh ela esek chomri v'gufani. And the activities of man in this world, in all ways, there's no way for it to be anything other than physical and bodily. That's how we function in this world. Kivan shekulam chomriim v'gufaniim, since they're all physical and relate to our body. The characteristics of man and all of his components, meaning the fact that we have such a strong, deep body, forces him into this esek. A person can't survive without eating, without drinking, and without all the other natural things that the body needs to do to survive. But our natural inclinations, our most basic necessities in this world as it exists are all definitionally physical. A person can remain alive in this world and only tend to their physical needs. Their 60, 70, 80, 120 years will be the only part of the entirety of eternity that they will have even maybe somewhat enjoyed, if that's all that they tend to. But if you only tend to your spiritual needs, you don't survive this world. And you don't get to the next world. And if you only tend to your spiritual, to your physical needs, then you also don't get to the next world. Which means that by necessity, man is compelled, whether he wants this world or the next world, to engage in physicality and the bodily needs. It's the nature of the reality in which we live. It's the nature of what we are, and therefore the nature of the reality in which we exist. That between the physical body of man himself, or whether you're talking about the world in which that person exists in, or what he's even doing in it, man, his surroundings, and everything he has to do, all of them, he's immersed in physicality and embedded in darkness. The amal gadol, the hishtadlut chazakah, yitzarech lo lahalot el matzav zach mizeh. And it takes tremendous effort to put in in order to raise oneself up to some place that's purer than that. Because he necessitates by nature to be involved in these things. Basically, in short, Sherry, there is no hope. We're stuck as these horrible, thick, deep, dark, physical people in a deep, dark, physical world that we have to tend to for deep, dark, physical needs that we need to tend to.
Sounds about right.
Right? How like life. Right? That's what it is. So the question is there any hope? We'll leave that. I mean, as with most cliffhangers, usually you know the answer to the question before you actually watch the next episode. More compelling is with any good cliffhanger, hopefully more compelling is not what is the answer to that question, which is obviously there has to be an upside to that. It can't just be that God leaves us in that situation. What's the chiddush of it is the chachma by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu designs the world bechasto to turn this all around for us, despite the impossibility of the situation, to be for our benefit and to give us tremendous opportunity. And we'll take a total shift into one of my favorite seifim in the book, Perek Dalet, Ot Dalet, Bezrat Hashem on Tuesday.